Well, we're excited for that series coming up in 2 weeks. And hey, church family, welcome home and welcome to the family. We're honored that you're here no matter where you're joining us from. So welcome to all of our family, to our physical locations around the Rochester area, to our online family. Welcome to Northridge Church. We're just grateful that you're here this morning. You know, my wife, Ashley, she's an interior designer, and so she kind of runs her own company. And on the weekends, Friday and Saturday are often in the Karshner household. They're prep days and design days. And so we all kind of play our part in helping Ashley get ready for a design, whether it's at somebody's house or someone's business. And my job in that equation is I'm like the chief put together furniture guy, right? That's my role in the job. And so there's many Fridays where I have a lot of boxes just sitting there waiting for me. And if you've ever put furniture together, you realize what a horrible job it is. The Lord has used it in my life in incredible ways, right? To sanctify me and ultimately just to show me how much sin is in my life. And so this one Friday, Ashley had a big design, and so I walk out to the garage, and there are like 4 or 5 boxes stacked on top of each other, and she's like, hey, Drew, will you just do me a huge favor and just put them together? And so I slowly, methodically start putting these boxes together. I put a couple end tables together. I put a couple nightstands together, and I finish 4 or 5 boxes, and I'm feeling pretty good about myself, right? I'm like, man, you know, this might be a horrible job, but you are good at it, Drew. You rock this. And so I get to this last box, and it's the biggest piece of furniture. It's a dresser. It's large. And so I get all the pieces out. I lay them out. I grab the pamphlet, and I just slowly work through step 1, step 2, step 3. Everything seems to be going pretty good. I get about 3/4 of the way done, and I'm on to the top piece. I grab it. I set it on top. It fits perfectly, and I go to grab the fasteners to put this on, and I realize I can't find them. This happens more than I care to admit. Because, you know, little tiny pieces in a garage full of cardboard and styrofoam. And so I'm like, no worry, right? Like, I'm just going to start throwing cardboard everywhere. And so I'm in this, like, search. I'm not panicked. I'm throwing cardboard and styrofoam, and I can't find them anywhere. And I'm starting to sweat a little bit. I'm starting to get a little bit angry and frustrated. My wife says when I start to get like this, I grit my teeth a little bit, and I, you know, and I'm like, okay, and I can't find them anywhere. And then I'm thinking like, okay, the kids were in the garage. Kids, did you move the stuff? Did you touch them? Like, no, Daddy. Okay, it must have been Ashley, right? And so I'm like, Ashley, what did you do with this stuff? You know who it was? It was the guy who packed this stupid thing in the first place. They didn't put enough fasteners in here. And honestly, I get to the point where I'm like, they're nowhere. I can't find them. Like, what is happening? And I just like, you know what, God? Like, why does this always happen to happen to me? Like, I don't care if you do it to somebody else. Just not me. And ultimately, in my pursuit, you know what I wanted to know? Who is to blame for this problem, right? Who's at fault here? What is going on? And what's interesting is this is like a silly illustration, but when we go through hard things in our life, when we suffer, we want to know whose fault it is. We want to know who's to blame. We want to know, God, what did I do to deserve this? And why would you allow this into my life? And today we're going to talk about that in John chapter 9 and Luke chapter 13. So if you got your Bibles, you can go ahead and turn there, make your way, follow along this morning. And if you haven't been with us, we've been talking about suffering, like a really relevant topic in culture at any time, right? We all suffer. In the last couple weeks, we've been talking about reasons why we suffer in life. Right, week 2, we talked about sometimes we suffer for making the right choice. We suffer because we follow God wholeheartedly and we face the resistance of our culture and we face the opposition of our enemy. And we literally have to suffer because we're doing the right thing. And then last week, we looked at the opposite perspective, right? Sometimes we suffer because we don't do the right thing. Sometimes we choose sin and sin comes with consequences and we suffer from our own choices. And today we're going to continue that conversation of reasons why we suffer, but we're going to look at it from the bigger picture, what's going on. And really, what we often wonder is who's to blame. And that's the question the disciples asked in this passage. John chapter 9, it says this, as he, that's Jesus, went along, Jesus saw a man blind from birth. His disciples asked him, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents that he was born blind. So a normal day in Jesus' life, he's a rabbi, a teacher. And in this culture, when you were a teacher, you had people who literally followed you everywhere you went to learn from you. And so he had disciples who were following him. And they come to this place and they see a man who culturally everybody knows he was blind from birth. And so the disciples look at this man who's endured suffering his whole life, who's dealt with a disability, and they wonder, who's to blame for this, Jesus? Jesus, why is this man blind? Was it his parents' fault or was it his fault? Who is to blame? Who's at fault? And that's a question we often ask God. Why, God? Right? Who's responsible for this? In fact, maybe in your life right now, you're asking God a question similar to that. Right? Why was my child born with a disability? Why did I get cancer? Why am I constantly in pain? Why can't we get pregnant? Why was I abused as a child? Why won't my depression go away? And the list of examples of what we have to endure, the suffering in our life, when we look up to God and say, is this my fault? Did I do something wrong? Like, or is this somebody else's? Like, what's going on here? That's what the disciples are asking Jesus about this blind man. And Jesus answers their question. He says, neither. Neither this man nor his parents sinned, Jesus said. And I don't know about you, but like, this is the most frustrating answer from Jesus. What do you mean, neither? Like, okay, if his parents didn't do anything wrong and he didn't do anything wrong, why is he blind, Jesus? This doesn't add up. And a lot of times in our own suffering, we kind of wrestle with this answer from Jesus, like, oh, neither. It's not your fault. It's not your parents' fault. Like, oh, then why does it hurt so bad? Why do I have to struggle for my whole life, Jesus? And what's interesting is we're left unsatisfied, but Jesus goes a little bit deeper into this conversation in Luke chapter 13. Look what it says. It says, now there were some present at the time who told Jesus about the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mixed with their sacrifices. So let me explain what he's saying. There were people who came to Jesus and told them about Galileans. Galileans are just a region of Israel. And these Galileans were literally slaughtered by Pilate. They were killed. And look what Jesus says about it. Do you think that these Galileans were worse sinners than all the other Galileans because they suffered this way? Right? Do you think that the reason why they suffered is because they were horrible, sinful people? He says, I tell you, no. But unless you repent, you too will all perish. And then Jesus goes to another illustration. He says, or those 18 who died when the Tower of Siloam fell on them. You see, in Jerusalem, there was an accident. A tower, large tower, fell and killed 18 people. And Jesus is wondering, people are wondering, do you think that those people who died when the tower fell were more guilty than all others living in Jerusalem? Jesus says, no, I tell you no, but unless you repent, you too will all perish. And here's what Jesus is doing in both stories. We all wanna know why. Who's responsible, right? But Jesus says, not the people who suffered, not the man or his parents who were blind. And what Jesus is teaching us theologically is that not all suffering we endure is a direct cause or result of personal sin, right? Sometimes you suffer, not because you did good, not because you did bad, but just the overarching picture of sin in our world, right? You can't correlate every bad thing, all suffering in your life, to specific sin that you choose. In fact, Jesus kind of denies this, like, you get what you deserve theology here. And yet this leaves us still, at least this me, leaves me unsatisfied, because I'm looking at the story, there's a guy blind from birth, and I'm like, okay, well, if it's not his fault, his parents' fault, like, why? Why is he suffering? Why am I suffering? And what we have to see is what's going on in the bigger picture. And Paul kind of gives us a window into that. Look what Paul says. He says, therefore, and remember this line, just as sin entered the world. Just as sin entered the world through one man and death through sin. And in this way, death came to all people because all sinned. You see, right here, Paul reveals why we suffer, right? It's not always a direct cause to what we choose or what others choose. He says sin is responsible for all the suffering in our world. The problem is sin. We suffer because we live in a broken, messed up, full of sin world. And here's what you have to understand. Right from the beginning of your Bible, God created the world. And guess what? When God created it, it was perfect. And guess what didn't exist? Suffering, pain, mourning, grieving, hardship, aches, disease. None of it was there because the world was perfect without sin. So you have to understand, God designed the world different than what we can even fathom, because we live in such a broken, cursed, sinful world that it is so hard for even our minds to wonder and dream of what that might be like. Because there is suffering every day. Right? It's so hard to even picture, like, what would that world been like? And yet the reality is, Paul teaches us that the moment sin entered the world, the moment Adam and Eve chose to rebel against God, that's what sin is. It's rebellion, disobedience to God. You choose your way instead of God's way. And the moment Adam and Eve disobey God, guess what? The entire world changed. It completely looked differently. And God gives us a window into the suffering because of sin right from the very beginning. We see it in Genesis chapter 3. God addresses three distinct people in this story. He says, so the Lord said to the serpent, right? That's the deceiver. That's our enemy. He says, because you have done this, cursed are you above all livestock and all the wild animals. You'll crawl on your belly and you'll eat dust all the days of your life. And I will put enmity between you and the woman. And between your offspring and hers, he will crush your head and you will strike his heel. And then God goes to the woman, he said, I will make your pains in childbearing very severe. With painful labor, you will give birth to children. Your desire will be for your husband and he will rule over you. Then he goes to man. He says to Adam, because you listened to your wife and ate fruit from the tree which I commanded you, you must not eat from. Cursed is the ground because of you. Through painful toil, you will eat food from it all the days of your life. It will produce thorns and thistles for you, and you will eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your brow, you will eat your food until you return to the ground, since from it you were taken, from dust you are, and to dust you will return. And right here, God reveals to all of humanity the pain and suffering that now exists because of sin. Because of rebellion to God. And let me just kind of sum it up, because that's a lot to take in. But here's the reality of God reveals. God says, hey, because of sin, there will be pain in childbirth. Ladies, you can say amen if you would like to, right? Because of sin, there will be relational brokenness all around us. Because of sin, work is gonna be hard and difficult by the sweat of your brow. Because of sin, we are kicked out of a perfect world without suffering, without disease. Because of sin, creation, the plants are all cursed, thorns and thistles. Because of sin, our bodies deteriorate and we will die. Because of sin, pain will be a regular experience in your body. Because of sin. You see, what we have to understand is when we suffer, there's not always a direct correlation to our own personal sin, but there is a direct line to the sins of humanity, the collective, right? We deal with suffering because we live in a broken, cursed world where sin is present. And I even said this in week one, as we started this journey, right? Suffering is all around us. Every day we see people suffering, from the news, to our friends, to our families, to our coworkers. And no one escapes it. Celebrities, it's not if you will suffer, it's when you will suffer. And that's a direct, you wanna blame something? Blame sin, because it ruined everything. And so the truth is we're gonna suffer, right? But what do we need to know in the midst of our suffering? That's what I wanna talk about today. Number one, in the midst of our suffering, we have to learn as Christ followers to trust God even when our suffering doesn't make sense. Right, when you suffer, it's often God testing how strong your trust is in him. Because here's the reality of some of the suffering you're gonna endure throughout your life. There will be times where God reveals to you the reasons why. And it will all make sense. And you'll be like, okay, I see it, God. But there will be times, I'm not gonna lie to you, there will be times where you suffer in your life and it doesn't add up. It doesn't make sense. You can't figure it out. And in those moments in your life, some of you are there right now, I'm preaching directly to you. You're like, how did Drew know about me? I didn't, the Lord did. And I'm preaching right to you. In the midst of suffering that doesn't make sense in your life right now, you've got to trust God. He knows. In fact, one of my favorite verses in all the Bible is Proverbs 3. And look what it says. It says, trust in the Lord. That's the command. We have to learn through everything to trust God with all of us, right? With our whole heart. And here's where we get it backwards, right? We think trust means everything makes sense. That's not what the Bible says. Because do you really trust if everything makes sense to you, if you can figure it all out? That means you just trust in yourself, not anybody else. But the Bible says, trust in God with all your heart and lean not on your understanding, because God's God and you ain't. In all your ways, submit to him and he will make your path straight. Right? You're gonna have to navigate times in your life where you suffer and it doesn't add up, you can't figure out why. And in those moments, instead of walking from God, lean into God. Trust him. And one of the ways I think practically we can do that is instead of asking the question, why God? What did I do to deserve this? Who's to blame? I wanna change our question in the midst of suffering. Instead of asking why, that's okay. You can ask God that. He's not afraid of your questions. But maybe a different question. If you're suffering today, here's a question I'd ask you to ask God this afternoon or tomorrow. Hey God, instead of why, where? God, where are you in the midst of this? Because here's what I've learned about suffering in my life. I have found God more real in the hardest moments of my life. When I'm hurting, that's when I feel the peace and the presence of the Holy Spirit in my life. And so today, instead of living in the why, man, God, show up for me in the midst of this. God, reveal yourself in a greater way in the midst. God, where are you in this? Because we have to learn to trust God even when it doesn't make sense. The second thing we have to do in the midst of suffering is if we recognize if sin broke the world, it shall break our hearts. Fundamentally, I think one of the biggest problems in the church today is we don't see sin for what it is. You wanna know how I know that? Because I just have to look at my own life. I just have to look at your life, right? Because if we truly understood that sin literally changed the world forever, if we truly understood that sin always brings suffering, sin always brings pain, sin always brings destruction, if we truly saw it for what it truly is, guess what we wouldn't do? Engage with it, flirt with it. And yet, come on, let's be honest, church, how many of us are hanging around sin right now in our life? And it's because we don't see it for what it really is. Let me remind you, it was sin, my sin and your sin, that made my Savior suffer. The reason why his blood was shed and his body was broken, not because he was a good guy, innocent guy, it was because of my sin and your sin that caused the murder of our Savior. And if it caused that pain in his life and it brings the same pain in my life, why in the world would I continue to hang around it? Why in the world would I continue to flirt with it, engage with it? My response is, man, if sin does this, I'm gonna detest it, I'm gonna hate it, and I'm gonna repent from it. Simply means turn away and go in a different direction. So today we have to see sin for what it really is. Can I ask you something? I'm gonna get a little bit in your space this morning. If you just go back to last week, you look at your life, you look at the choices you made. Do those choices reveal your hatred for sin or your enjoyment of it? That don't make you feel good this morning. We gotta learn to trust God in the midst of our suffering. We gotta hate sin, guys. We gotta detest it, walk away from it, repent of it. Third, when suffering comes, we have to learn to grieve honestly. Man, suffering is hard. No one wants it, no one chooses it, and yet it comes so quickly and so painfully. And can I just give you permission? If you're suffering today, it is okay to grieve. It is okay to mourn, to lament. Sometimes in your life, it's okay not to always be okay, to ask for help, to say, hey, will you help me carry this burden? That's what the church family is for, guys. right? So when we struggle, we pick each other up. We pray for each other, right? It's okay to grieve. In fact, we see Jesus model this for us, right? Jesus, when he lost a close friend, he didn't put on a facade and say, hey, everything's okay. I'm perfectly fine. In his humanity, he wept. He mourned. He hurt. And if you're hurting today, it's okay. We're here for you. We love you. Help. Let us shoulder some of the burden to grieve honestly. But there's something bigger going on here. Right? There's something much larger at stake here that we have to see in this story, because at some level we're all still wondering, okay, why is this guy blind, Jesus? The disciples are like, oh, this doesn't add up, Jesus. But look how the story ends. The disciples ask, like, why is this man blind? Is it his parents or his fault? And Jesus says, neither. Neither this man nor his parents sinned, said Jesus. But this happened so that the works of God might be displayed in him. After saying this, he spit on the ground, made some mud with the saliva, and put it on the man's eyes. Go, he said to him, wash in the pool of Siloam. So the man went and washed and came home seeing. You see, what Jesus is doing here is he's really revealing the truth of opening our eyes. You see, I love the picture here. This guy was blind, but then he goes home seeing, right? That's the picture of the gospel in our lives. We are blind to our sin. We can't see it for what it is, but because of Jesus, his cross and his resurrection, he sets us free. That which was blind now sees because of what Jesus has done. And look at the warning in Luke chapter 13. We go back to this story, right? In Luke chapter 13, Jesus warns everybody. He says, unless you repent, unless you turn from your sin and find a savior, you too will perish. What Jesus is doing here is he's revealing the very purpose of why he came. Through two stories, Jesus came to restore what sin broke. You see, the world is cursed from sin, and the very reason Jesus left heaven and came to earth was to restore and bring hope back to that which was lost, so the blind could actually see. Are you serious, guys? Amen? Come on, that's the gospel. Jesus died so we could be set free, so we could have hope. So let me just tell you what that means practically in your life. If you're here this morning and you don't have a relationship with Jesus, right? Maybe for some reason you've held off making that decision. You're still trying to figure it out. You still have questions. Can I just, one, tell you, man, we're honored to have you here this morning. You keep coming. This is a safe place to learn and grow about Jesus. We love that you're here. But I also want to just preach the reality to you. If you're here today and you have not crossed that line of faith where you put your hope and trust in Jesus, his cross and his resurrection, here's the reality for you. This world is your heaven. Not about you, but if this world is as good as it gets for me, that's a really crappy heaven. Because this world, there's good times. There's a whole lot of bad times. You know what I'm saying? Like, anybody relate? Like, it's hard. It ain't easy. There's pain all around us. And here's what you need to know. I'll just use my life. I, in this world, can navigate any hardship. I believe it. It doesn't matter what God brings into my life, what pain and suffering I have to endure in the midst of all of it, right? I have hope. I have peace. You want to know why? Because I know my future. I know what's in store for me. This is not my home. This is not my heaven. And I'm longing for one day through the midst of this suffering that I will come to Jesus and he will end it all that I don't want to have to deal with. Right? I have hope in the midst of any turmoil, any suffering that comes my way because of Jesus. I didn't earn it. I didn't deserve it. He gave it to me freely. And yet it cost him greatly. So can I just ask you a question? As you look at your life, as suffering comes, do you have that hope? Do you have it? Right? Not does your grandma have it? Not does your spouse have it? You got to choose that hope. You got to surrender to it. And the great news is this morning, if you don't have that hope, I want to offer it to you this morning. So if you just bow your heads with me, if that's you this morning, maybe you're here and you're like, you know what? I want that hope. Maybe you're in the midst of suffering right now and you can't see past it. Can I tell you, because of Jesus, you can. And to step in that hope is not some complicated equation. You don't get it from being a better person or choosing better things. You get it by surrendering to Jesus. If you want to do that right now, it's simple. It's a prayer to him. It's your heart crying out. Just say these words in your own heart, in your own head. Jesus, I want you. I recognize that I'm a sinner, guilty, and my sin has broken things. I can't overcome it, God. As strong, as good as I want to be, it doesn't work. But I don't have to, because Jesus, you overcame it for me. So today, with my life, with my heart, I'm declaring, I believe in you, Jesus. I believe in your cross, in my place. I believe in your resurrection and the victory that it gives to me. So come into my life, Jesus. Help me to turn from my sin and be my Savior. Give me hope despite the suffering that is all around us. And listen, if you said that prayer, I'm not gonna embarrass you. I just encourage you, tell somebody. Right? Tell your friends, tell your neighbor, tell your campus pastor. I don't care who you tell, but I would also like to say, welcome to the family of God. Welcome. Come on, we celebrate that, Northridge Church. Welcome to the family of God. And so there's really only one way to respond to this message this morning. It's to remember. It's to remember the sacrifice of Jesus that set us free from our sins. His blood that was shed and his body that was broken. And so our bands are gonna lead us in a worship song, and then we'll hang on to those elements, and after the song, we will celebrate what Jesus did for us. So if you wanna stand up at all of our locations, we're gonna worship together our Savior.